91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Sophia Bebben, and today I am joined by
Mike Taylor.
And today we are going to be talking about mental health in teens here at the high school. So do you want to briefly introduce yourself and your role at the high school?
Sure, Fia. My name's Mr. Taylor, Mike Taylor. I am the director of counseling for the high school and been here almost 30 years. I'm also a licensed mental health therapist as well.
What is the biggest issue or challenge facing high school students today, like specifically mental health challenges?
Yeah, so I don't know if we can pinpoint one issue. I think kids are dealing with multiple issues, anxiety, stress, depression. Something that I've seen also in the past year or two, especially with our younger kids, is apathy. Just really no motivation to be in school or to do any type of schoolwork. Social isolation has really taken an uptick for some kids. Obviously that's concerning. But I think those intertwined, and sometimes they all feed off of each other, or one leads to another maybe. Okay. So I would say multiple issues kids are dealing with at this point in time, not just one.
Mm-hmm. Why are these, I guess, this big group of issues like and very important for the community to understand?
So, you know, we all live in Pendleton, right? For most of us, right? So, community and families, you're dealing with these kids on a daily basis. And just knowing that what you see in front of you, you don't know what that kid may be going through. So maybe you have an interaction with them at the store and maybe they're kind of curt or just looking down or whatever. Sometimes we think typical teen behavior, quote unquote, right? But we don't know what that kid's going through. We don't know. Maybe there's something going on at home, something going on relational, something going on at school. So I would just say, you know, we just need to raise community awareness that, yes, the typical response is kids are resilient, but even that resiliency has a limit. And we just need to know that, you know, kids are struggling. Not all kids, but kids are struggling.
How does your work that you do as a counselor, like, benefit the school and, like, the wider community?
Right. So what we hope in when the counseling department is that when we, what's nice is our counseling, we have these kids for all 4 years. And some of those kids that do come down to see us, you know, and see us quite often, what we're trying to give them is coping skills, resources on how to deal with those certain situations, right? We always tell kids, there are some situations you have no control over, all right? So let's talk about that. Let's run through that. What does that look like? How do you deal with that? Knowing that you have no control, okay, of this situation. It could be a family situation. Maybe family's going through a divorce, right? That's very, very tough for a kid to deal with, all right? Maybe they've just gone through a breakup or death of a friend. So we give them coping skills and we give them different ways to look at a situation so they don't internalize it. Because a lot of times kids turn it on themselves that, what did I do wrong, all right? So instead of looking at it that way, saying, okay, how can we work you through this situation? What can we do to make the situation better? We're not going to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Some things you just can't fix, but how can we get through it?
Right. Are you noticing like any trends in student behavior, mental health, or like academic pressure, stuff like that?
Some of the trends that we're seeing is just, I go back to the apathy is a trend that worries me. And what I mean by that is several students, just even on my case alone, just have zero motivation for school. Unfortunately, failing multiple classes and doesn't seem to be registering with them. So I always ask what else is going on? Because, you know, we see it academically that kids are struggling. There's usually something behind that. Well, what's behind that struggle? Okay. Because I don't know everything that's going on with the kid either. You know, What is your story? What is going on? I think the other trend that we're seeing, I don't necessarily know if it's a trend because it's been a while, been around a while, is social media is a big one because kids never get away from it. So kids who are struggling mentally, maybe with self-concept, self-esteem, or having issues, relational issues. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have it, right? So if something was occurring at school, I didn't have to deal with it when I went at home. You know, I got 8-10 hours without it. And then you recharge, go back. Kids nowadays, they're attracted to the social media, whatever it may be. And so if it goes south on them, if it goes negative, they're constantly seeing it.
Right.
And there's no break in that.
I know how you know, how you were talking about apathy with students just not wanting to do school. Is there like a common factor that these people are dealing with that, that you notice? Or is it just a number of reasons why they don't want?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go towards the latter. It's a number of reasons. I mean, a couple of the kids, it's just family situations real tough. Some of them have been uprooted and brought to a new school that wasn't a big, you know, that wasn't in their plans. And other times it's just maybe the kid has struggled all along in school. And now that at high school, you know, we can't move them on, so to speak, it's starting to play out to where, hey, what are we going to do with this? And, you know, some kids are just like, I just, you know, school's never been for me. So I'm just kind of doing my time, so to speak. I'm going to put in my 4 years. If I get a couple credits, great. So in that case, we try to figure out, okay, what is going to be best for the student, you know, because we have other alternatives besides your traditional school. And so, you know, we try to track down some of those alternatives to try to give that kid something before they leave.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to students who like might be struggling and are hesitant to ask for help from like you or other counselors?
So what advice we'd give them?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would say is a trusted adult. All right. We have a great faculty, and I know our faculty tries to reach out to kids of all walks of life and try to build a relationship with them. So a lot of times we'll get referrals from teachers, but if I could tell the student, you know, if they're afraid of reaching out, if they're afraid of approaching a counselor, approaching a teacher, then what I would encourage, they typically may reach out to a friend, then I would encourage that friend to reach out to an adult, reach out to someone. Because sometimes the scary part is the unknown, what's going to happen. But what we're trying to emphasize, one, we're trying to do a couple things, is destigmatize mental health issues. You know, kids, everybody struggles, adults included. And so trying to get kids to understand that it's not a weakness, but it's something that we can learn from and something that can make you stronger, okay, to coin a phrase, right? But it's work.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't happen. And so I would encourage kids that if they're not confiding in an adult, if they're afraid to go see a counselor, to confide at least a friend, and that I would encourage those friends to maybe be the voice for that student.
Mm-hmm. What should the students know about like the counseling resources that we have available here at the school?
Sure. So we have three counselors here, and we kind of do what we call triage. So if a student comes in and they're in immediate crisis, we try to work through them that crisis, you know, and talk them down. And a lot of times the majority of kids, that's what they need. Just need a time to vent, time to get some coping skills, time to get some reframing of what just went on. Then we do have other students for various reasons, either life crisis or relational or whatever the case may be, that need some outside resources. So we have a couple of MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding, with two facilities, Centerstone and Howard Health, to where the therapists actually come into school and they see the clients, they see the students in our areas.
All right. If you could like leave students like with a key message, like what would it kind of be, you know?
Yeah. So a key message that I want to say is that it is okay not to feel okay. Everybody, I think, feels that at some point in time, and to reach out. But I also think to the adults and to the community, we assume students can reach out. Most can, but sometimes those students can't. So we need to be willing to reach into those students to bring those students along with us. And the other thing I would say is something that Robin Williams stated is, I love it when he's credited with this phrase, but he said, everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. And I think that rings true. We don't know what's going on with that kid. The teachers don't. We don't know what's going on with the teachers. Teachers have bad days too. It's just, you know, be kind, understanding.
Is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with that you feel is like important?
Just that, you know that students and the community, they have supports here. And if they're not sure where to turn for whatever their support may be, they can reach out to us. I am going to forward you a couple of resource guides for Madison County that you can put on the WEAM website, mm-hmm. that parents can have access to. So, you know, phone numbers, whether it be housing, whether it be food, whatever the case may be, awesome. And then they'll have it at their fingertips.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. That's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you for joining me. Once again, I'm your host, Sophia Bevan, and I was joined by
Mike Taylor.
And that's going to wrap up this segment of WEEM.
Leave it to 917 WEEM to have the greatest social media in the state. Check us out on our Instagram, X, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube for behind-the-scenes content, broadcast information, and more at 917 WEEM. What are you waiting for? Follow us today.
917 WEEM, welcome back to another episode of WEEM Weekly. I'm your host, Julia Walls, and I'm here with
Ryan Jones, Dean of Students.
And today we will be talking about school safety and emergency preparedness. So to start us off, how would you define our school safety, or how would you say that our school safety is maintained?
Sure. In our corporation as a whole, multiple people are trained as school safety specialists. So Mr. Rose and I are both trained school safety specialists, and we try to include as many people as possible with that. Mr. Edwards for a while was a school safety specialist. I'm not sure if he's...
Edwards, the geometry teacher?
Yeah. So I have him. Yeah. So, and also with working with Officer Baker as well, we make our safety team. And safety is all encompassing. It includes everything from fire drills to maintaining how visitors enter the building, traffic flow after school. So there's lots of things that go into it. And not just the three of us or four of us, it's a multitude of everybody in combination to kind of work on safety as a whole.
Okay. Would you say school safety and preparedness is important?
Oh, most definitely. That's something, like I said, we go to training coincidentally 30 minutes ago at our county safety meeting. So all the schools in the county, we had a conversation about trends and things to look out for and just to make sure our students are making smart choices and safe choices.
How would you evaluate our school safety protocols as effective as an administrator?
So we, as a corporation, use the I Love You Guys Foundation for our safety. So that's everybody K through 12 will all hear the same commands of, like, instead of saying having a fire drill, we have an evacuation drill. So it gives us more options if we ever have like inclement weather or another reason to evacuate. It makes it as consistent as possible. So when a kindergartner comes up to the high school age and level, they're used to hearing the same things as well.
Do you use different words for different situations?
Yeah. So if you listen carefully, when we run our drills, we'll have our evacuation drill, shelter drill, and lockdown drill. Every once in a blue moon, we'll have something called a hold. So if something happens in the hallway, say a staff member gets injured or a spill or something, and we're about to go into passing period, we'll hold everybody so that they're safe and not tripping, and gives EMS time if they need to address the staff member or a student or whoever might be needing medical attention in the hallway.
Was there ever a time when there was an actual emergency that you had to respond to?
Yeah, I mean, we have frequent things from, kids with allergies. Fire alarm can get accidentally set off. We have an older building, and that's something that we've really tried to, dust gets in one of the fire alarms. And so we have to make sure it's a legitimate issue if the fire alarm does go off. And so there's a process we have for that to make sure it's not someone pulling the fire alarm with ill intent. So we do that. It's pretty. So if the fire alarm ever goes off unannounced, you'll see me sprinting through the hallway to the panel. To see where it's at to make sure it's a legitimate threat. And then we'll kind of accommodate how we need to with that.
I remember when I was in middle school, the fire alarm maybe accidentally, but at least a couple times got set off by students. So yeah. We had to evacuate.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, like a ball in PE class hits it, or a kid leans up against it, doesn't realize it's happened before. So we just make sure it's all valid and legitimate before we evacuate the school.
How do you prepare our school staff for all emergency situations?
It's a great question. Over the summer, when you guys are still on summer break, we'll have staff development and we'll go over kind of trends in safety and initiatives in safety. And they're subtle, and they're not really meant to be like right in your face, because we want it to be a open and collaborative environment. It's also a safe environment, but teachers are trained on different processes, things like that, especially like our fire drills. Evacuation drills, we prioritize communication with that. So you'll see us on the radios talking to one another and making sure all students are accounted for.
How specifically during drills do you ensure like communication?
Yeah. So if you look, when we have a drill, teachers wear orange vests and administration and office staff wear blue vests. Orange vest teachers help distinguish who's a teacher versus who's an office staff member, especially for new, brand new teachers. They're taught to find a person in a blue vest to communicate any needs or if they need help, and then we can radio to each other and have clear communication on that.
I had never noticed that.
Like I said, subtle things. So I guess we're doing our job.
Are there any other possible situations that you wish we had drills for?
It's pretty well covered. I mean, the I Love You Guys Foundation does a really great job of covering most situations we'll see in Indiana. I mean, we really don't have a earthquake drill because the great shakeout is technically during our spring break. That's a worldwide thing they recognize. I mean, we don't really see that kind of weather. Obviously, we don't see like tsunamis and things like that, but we cover what's appropriate or for the Midwest with tornadoes and severe weather and fire mostly. Yeah.
What other matters of school safety do we conduct here at PHS, like construction, online safety, and other things?
Yeah. So as you guys have noticed, we've got new doors around our entire building and with access control. So it helps kids enter efficiently and in a safe manner from the parking lot. And some previous alumni probably wish they had that. They used to have to walk all the way around the building in the freezing cold. So now they can just cut through the building and they report to the main office. When it comes to technology, we have filters for our students they utilize, that we utilize and we monitor. So when keywords or phrases are used in that, administration and potentially law enforcement, if it's severe enough, we'll be notified, especially even if a kid's not on school grounds. And that can be everything from mental health to just inappropriate searches. So we make sure we monitor that and our students are being safe with that.
Throughout these questions that I've asked, how does all that you have said like apply to a real emergency?
It's all preparedness. I mean, we do everything we can and we try to be as prepared as we can, and every emergency can be different. So we try to, the biggest key parts of that is communication and preparedness, which I like to think our staff does a good job at. We're constantly talking about that with community members and people involved with that to help us fully understand what we can do to best service our students and staff.
How would you advise our students to conduct themselves during drills so that they themselves are prepared for possible emergency situations?
It's just take it serious. I know that some kids view it as an opportunity to get out of class for 10 minutes or a breath of fresh air, but we would like them to make sure they're listening to their teacher's directives, doing it in a timely manner, and not being, you know, excessive with pushing, shoving to get down the stairs. If everybody evacuates in a timely manner, but safe manner, everybody will evacuate the building as necessary.
You're coming from a student. It is nice to get out of class for a couple minutes, but it is obviously very important to take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
What problems do you see in our school now that you want to fix or change in the future?
We're always working at that. The first thing always for me is just the building itself, which the door project was a massive project. The new vestibule, as you've probably seen in the front, if you've had your parents come pick you up or how you arrive. So now a guest can't just walk into our building. They have to walk through the office and bypass Officer Baker, which is a massive improvement. And we're very, very happy with that. There's always things that we can always get better at. There's tons of technology resources out there now, but that's currently our main focus is the physical exterior. Make sure that's all working as intended. And then we'll slowly start making our way into other avenues for safety.
So you guys wanted to focus more on the doors and the office first, and then you're going to go on to other areas.
There's so many technology options now. And so it's kind of what fits our students and staff the best and what's most applicable. What's really good for a Carmel High School might not be the same for us, or what's good for us might not be good for a smaller high school in our county. It just depends on what will help service our students the best.
Right. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have here for this WEEM weekly segment. I was your host, Julia Walls, and I was here with
Ryan Jones.
And we will see you next time.
Here at 91.7 WEEM, Variety Matters. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, listen to 80s at 8 o'clock. We have the greatest hits from the 80s by Madonna, Bon Jovi, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, and more. Relive the greatest decade with 91.7 WEEM 80s at 8.
Welcome back to another episode of WEEM Weekly. I'm your host, Hudson Kistler, and I'm joined by...
Jason Kistler, Hudson's Pops.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about the rise of artificial intelligence and its effects on jobs. So just kind of a baseline, do you have any knowledge of AI? I mean, I assume you would with me bringing you in here.
Yeah, I use AI for about, 50% of what I do from a creativity standpoint. It's weeded itself into our business quite a bit in the last 2 years, I would say.
Okay. So the first question we're going to start out with is, how is your job associated with AI?
Well, AI is found its way in our company in lots of different ways. I would say that the biggest way it's found its way in is a jump start in creativity. It doesn't do any design work for us, but it certainly helps the idea side of things. It gets the ideas rolling. But we also use it for things like building proposals and business plans and, just number of things, even helping us write reviews. So they sound better than how we write them. They don't come up with original ideas for us as far as proposals and things like that go, but, we do use it to fine tune the ideas we have.
Okay. And so with AI in your field, what are some of the pros and cons that come with it?
Well, like most companies, time is money. The less time you can spend on a project and still make money, your margins, your net profit becomes greater. So one of the biggest roles that it plays in our company is just it slims down how much time we spend on projects, it slims down the time we spend on, like I said earlier, writing proposals and things like that. And it makes us look really good when we do it. So all in all, it really makes us more profitable because we're spending less time doing different, mundane things.
Yeah, it's kind of like a quantity over quality type of deal.
Yeah, it's a shortcut. I would call it a shortcut because our quality doesn't suffer, but we do get a lot more done. And I think that's reflected in so many industries across the globe, which is also part of the con.
Yeah. And so as of now, because obviously AI has gotten very big, but like as of now or in the future, could AI be used as a bigger asset for big companies or businesses just starting out?
Yeah, it will be huge. I don't think we have words to describe just how much influence it's going to have. I think it's important to realize that the age of AI right now is probably the equivalent of a 2-day-old baby. We don't even have any clue what its capabilities are going to be as it grows and develops and slowly mutates into newer and bigger things. We can kind of try to predict that, but we can't really be completely sure on how it's going to, end in 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years from now. Just in the last couple years, the growth that AI has had has been incredible. So it's exciting to see just what will come about this.
Yeah. And does AI pose any threats towards like specific types of jobs?
I think it poses threats across the board. I think we need as a world, we need to be prepared for what AI is going to do to the job market. For instance, just in my type of career alone, the graphic design side of things, according to labor and statistics, there's 260,000 people that claim graphic design as a career. 2 years ago, I might not have seen anything AI generated for 3 or 4 months. Now I see it on a weekly basis. So the more people get used to AI and allow it to take influence into their day daily, that slowly, from a creative standpoint, could potentially wipe out 260,000 jobs. So those people have to find a place to go. And that's just not with graphic design. You go across the board, writers and
paralegals and people that write reports in a professional manner, all these jobs, and we haven't even gotten into automation and self-driving cars and semis. We're talking 40-50% of the job force in the next 5 years could be potentially wiped out. So the real big question and the con here is, as a society, how do you adjust for that? What do you do when those jobs are gone? You know, yeah. So that's a real big challenge that we have to start thinking about.
Yeah. So, do you think there's any like real way to solve this? Because obviously that's really scary. Obviously that can impact a lot of people.
Well, the answer is yes. I don't have the answer to that. I think it takes a tremendous amount of forward thinking. And I don't think one singular person is going to figure this out. I think it's going to have to be a global thing. I think we have to get to a point where we're comfortable with the idea that a lot of the people in our population won't have jobs. And just what do we do and how do we keep ourselves busy? We have from the beginning of time, we have had to fight to survive. And at the very beginning of the time, the best hunters survived because they were the ones able to feed their family, things like that. You move to today's society, we are still driven that way, where we are nothing but competition. You look at sports, you look at academia, all this is based on competition. Getting into college, getting the job, it's all competitive. It's in our DNA because at the beginning of time, that's how we had to be to survive. Now you take all that away, and the problem, the biggest part of the problem is it's going to happen so fast. There's never been something like this that's going to take on the role that it has as quickly as it's going to have, you know, the profound effect that this is going to have. The Industrial Revolution was huge, similar to this in a way, but that was in a large span. They could see it coming, and they kind of worked around it. There were still a lot of other things for people to do. So, like I said, this takes a tremendous amount of forward thinking, and I think about it a lot, but I'm not sure what's going to happen.
It really is just kind of a scenario of survival of the fittest.
I mean, it comes down to that a little bit, yeah. Especially when a large population across the world don't have ways to buy things. And that also puts a lot of pressure on the people that are still working, the people that are building cars. And because if nobody has a job, then there's no one there to purchase those goods. So you can kind of see the problem here.
Yeah. Does AI like excite you at all?
I have so many mixed feelings about AI. If we were to talk about the part that excites me, I would tell you that, I'm most interested in health science. I think AI is going to, allow for us to, cure things that were uncurable. I think people that were born blind will eventually be able to see. People that are born unable to hear will be able to hear again. People that are in car accidents that maybe are paralyzed, I think they'll eliminate that one day. And we can go, you know, pre-birth, and we could talk about some fundamental disabilities that kids are born with, I think will be wiped out. So I get crazy excited about that. Just the possibilities, you know, we have family right now battling cancer, and the idea that AI might jump in there and help us with a cure to solve that, is beyond exciting for me.
Yeah. So what are, some of the newest advances in AI technology that you know of, like that you could be able to inform us about?
Well, there isn't a ton advances I can tell you about. I can tell you that AI is mixing with quantum computing, which is taking some of the greatest minds we have on this planet, and it's confusing them. They can't quite understand the length that quantum computing and AI, when you mix those two together, just what's capable. They're now talking about things that were true science fiction 5 years ago. That are now oddly kind of possible realities. So as far as the breakthroughs, I do keep up, like I was mentioning just a few seconds ago about health sciences. I do keep up with that a bit. And I'm watching, trials and breakthroughs happen a lot more, mentioned more now than, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago. These articles are pretty amazing. So, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that AI is speeding up the process for a lot of labs and a lot of scientists. It's answering questions quicker now, which has allowed them to make progress a lot faster now.
Yeah. Do you think AI is just a phase, or it will continue to grow?
No, AI is not a phase. It's the new way of life. It's no more a phase than vehicles, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, we started with horses and things like that, to carriages, to eventually automobiles, and that'll maybe turn into teleportation. I don't know. Now we're starting to talk about quantum physics, but so I don't think it's a phase, just like travel is a phase.
Yeah.
I think it's here for good. It'll only just change.
Yeah. Cause I feel like over the years, everybody thinks that something's going to be a phase, like the internet. People thought that was just a fad, but then now we use it every day.
Well, yeah. And if you think about it, before the internet, there was the encyclopedia, which was basically your go-to internet. And before that, there were papers and documents and books written. So the internet is just another phase of communication. It's kind of always been here, but just in a different way. Oh.
You think AI, have you yourself experimented with AI in your field?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. I like to challenge AI. And the thing with me, I think the trick to AI, successful relationship with AI, is how you communicate with it and the parameters you set up when you ask it a question. You know, you can ask it to draw you a box when really you need a cube, and it'll draw you a box. But then you explain that you actually need a three-dimensional cube, and it'll create that for you. So my experimentation with AI, I'm not sure I explained that exactly how I meant it, but my experimentation with AI is just really discovery. I'm constantly discovering AI. Been in it for 2 years now, and the relationship I have with AI is constantly developing.
And for our last question, you know, something to the audience, how can someone watching prevent negative side effects from AI?
Well, the key is education. Understand what AI is and how to use AI. Negative side effects, as we've talked today, would probably be the loss of jobs and how we cope with that. And I think that just comes down to communication. We have to talk about this. We have to have some forward thinking, and we have to prepare for what AI possibly means for us as a world.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that's all the time we have left here for this Weem Weekly episode. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah. Appreciate your time here. It was fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next episode. Goodbye.
Thank you.